Hey there, I'm your host, Justin Owens, and this is the Can't Stop Moving podcast, a deep dive into the life, experiences, and businesses of my very own grandfather, Gary Owens. Each episode, we discuss a different segment of his life or a particular business. He was doing so many different things at the same time, it was really difficult to go in chronological order. So you'll discover quickly that we go off on tangents and down random rabbit holes, but bear with us as I figure out how to interview someone I've known my entire life and attempt to tease out stories I've heard for the better part of 30 years. So 2005, new subject. We're changing gears. We're going to talk about sort of the second component of the inspiration for the name of this podcast. And it's been a 12-year experience, I think.
16.
21, 16 years.
Yeah, you were with me when I started shaking.
Yeah.
We were remodeling the condo at Chaparral and Rancho Mirage.
Palm Desert.
Mm-hmm.
So 2005, you sell the condo that you had bought. No, you didn't. The first condo you bought when you were with the A&W group, and then each of the families kind of bought their own.
Yeah, we bought one
condos
on the lake on that.
Yeah, on the
par five, on the elbow on that lake
in Cathedral City.
Yeah,
which, if anyone that doesn't know Cathedral City, I'll just share that the last summer before we sold that condo, where you and I are in the pool in 05, and we're sitting there, and I mean, it was kind of normal to hear drag races going on. Was that Palm Canyon Drive? Mm-hmm. Yeah, outside the walls there. But that last summer, we were hearing a whole lot of gunshots.
Yeah.
I mean, it was getting a little sketchy. And
right across the wall.
Yeah. So, I mean, Palm Springs is blowing up, but if you're spending any time in Cat City, I mean, be smart about it. But you moved out of there to Chaparral in Palm Desert.
Yeah.
And you and I had the bright idea to remodel it during the summer.
Yeah.
In the desert. I think the record heat that year was like 124, something like that. And that was like the recorded temperature. That's not the temperature on the asphalt. I remember the news out there cooking eggs, cooking burger patties, steaks, because the asphalt was like 168. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was so hot. You walked outside and it was like you had a...
blistered your arms.
Oh, God. It was like an electric, layers of electric heated blankets wrapped around you.
The sun is stinging your arms.
Yeah. But that summer, I mean, do you want to describe what started happening? Or how you first noticed it?
My thumb kept moving, so I got a big thick rubber band and tied it around these three fingers and around that thumb to keep that thumb down. Mm-hmm. And then pretty soon it was more shaking away.
Yeah.
It went.
And it went. I mean, it went a while. I remember you wrapping the rubber bands around your hand for at least a year, maybe 2 years, before the hand started to really move with that essential tremor. Mm-hmm. And you went in, you got diagnosed, and they started putting you on Parkinson's medications to try to control it and compensate for the dopamine that you weren't producing.
Yeah.
And
it got so bad, I said to Jamie Mark, my doctor, I said, is there anything that I can do to stop this shaking?
Because you were, like, you were maxed out on your meds, like, what you could take, and it just
wouldn't affect it.
And you were getting sick.
Yeah, yeah. I take him and lay down and get sick. So she said, well, we could operate on your brain and stick probes in there and try to block it. And I said, well, I'd try anything. And she said, well, we've lost one on the table. Another one died later. I'll try it.
And I remember you and I out in the woods below your house at this point, like in time, you and I were picking up branches or we were cleaning up a tree that had fallen down or something. And you got winded and we sat down to take a break and you just laid down on the grass and we were looking at each other and you were like, I'm done. I'm not going to make it, you know? And we just kind of laid there and cried a little bit because it really felt that way. Like you were doing everything possible that you could do. And so
I forgot that.
I didn't. So the surgery, when that became an option, I don't really remember being present at that time. Like, I think you were, I mean, I wasn't driving you to your appointments. I was in college at that point. How did it progress?
Well, I went to Jamie, and Dr. Hershauer was still there. And they said, well, we won't know till we try. So we tried. And
he had done a lot of them.
For 15 years.
Yeah.
He was great. So it worked.
And this was in 2008. You had the surgery. Mm-hmm. And so beforehand, they screen you to see if you're even a candidate for it, you know, mentally, emotionally. And during the surgery, do you want to describe that process of going in and, I mean, they've got to cut two holes on the top of your scalp or your skull, and you're knocked out for part of it. But when they place the probes in, they wake you up, right? Or after they've placed the probes.
Bring you around a little bit.
Yeah, enough to where maybe you don't remember it, but they're communicating with you.
Yeah, talked
out. Oh, you remember?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you're awake, you know, your brain tissue's hanging out. They're digging around.
They're where the problem is, it makes a noise, chatters. And so it has it turned up where it sounded like static on a radio. They zero in.
Where the brain signal was coming from that was causing the tremor?
Yeah, the noise, and the noisier it got, the closer they were getting to it.
Huh. Because when you're knocked out, is that tremor gone? Did they need to wake you up a little bit?
Yeah.
To have the tremor
present? Yeah, when you're asleep, it don't happen.
So you have the surgery. You have two probes in each half of your, one probe in each half of your brain. Mm-hmm. And wires that go down behind your ears to batteries on your chest. Mm-hmm. You know, one battery for each probe and a little wireless controller. So you had the surgery, you go in, I'm guessing a couple weeks later, and you get the batteries turned on for the first time. Mm-hmm. What was that like?
Amazing.
Was there any like physical sensation, or did it feel like anything, or did you just all of a sudden your hands not shaking?
Yeah, you know, you hit a home run. So life's good.
And one of the trade-offs that's possible with the surgery is losing your equilibrium, your balance.
It affects your balance.
And going into the surgery, like, you knew that, and they had told you stories of people, like, elsewhere that, like, were walking along their dock and they lost their balance and fell.
Yeah.
Like,
it's easy to lose your balance.
You know,
you lean over, you're so far, normally you pick back up, you just fall over.
Yeah. And it doesn't help with you that you're sciatic nerve is crushed
yeah.
in one leg. So that's like a dead leg. So you turn, and you turn with your torso, and your legs stay put.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, I'd say it's taken about 15 of the 16 years to learn how to turn without falling over.
I have fell over 100 times.
Oh, at least.
You know, playing football, you learn how to land. You get tackled a lot. I think that helped me.
Yeah, you've had some big falls with, like, as a result of not having your equilibrium. I remember one time you had a kink in your neck, and you were riding the bike in Palm Springs, and you rode up into the driveway, and your feet got tangled up or something, getting off the bike, and you fell into the car, and you hit your head on the car, and it cracked your neck enough you didn't have a kink anymore. But your surgery, we found out 5-6 years later that yours was one of the most successful
yeah.
with removing the essential tremor. And not, and I don't mean like eliminated it. Like if we turn the batteries off, like your arm would start shaking and you would double over.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the amount that your Parkinson's progressed while you had the probes in those 5 or 6 years was quite a bit. I mean, your arm was shaking when you had the surgery, but it would really, you know, double you over.
Did you notice today Jamie told that new intern that they played that film back
mm-hmm.
of me? When I,
yeah. Well, so for context, Medtronic, the device manufacturer, reached out, I think, to Jamie and reached out to you to be a part of a national ad campaign for the device.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out to the farm, they filmed you, and
went on national TV.
Yeah. Your video was the one they picked out of, I don't know, half a dozen people that they, I mean, they went out and they filmed with other people that the device helped eliminate other symptoms. Not eliminate, but helped
yeah.
with their symptoms.
Yeah.
I remember after that national commercial started airing, Jeff, you know, my younger brother, called me up and he's like, "You're never going to believe this. The video of Grandpa, someone created a GIF of the portion where you're doing the dexterity measurements. You know, you're tapping your fingers, you're touching your finger to your nose. Someone had essentially spliced a short video clip and posted it on Reddit and Imgur. And you were the number one trending topic for about 36 hours on Reddit in 2012, maybe 2013. No, a little later. But I always thought that was really funny. And none of them ever jumped on it. Like, here it's kind of this hot trending topic, and nobody at Medtronic really cared or maybe understood how to take advantage of it at the time. But I thought that was pretty cool. But the batteries have been great. The device has been great. You've had the batteries last you a couple years at a time. And after one of the surgeries you had, or after one of your battery replacements, you developed a staph infection.
Yeah.
And it started off as just like a little sore behind your ear. And it started working its way up the wire to the probe in your brain.
Yeah. They were afraid it was going to get in my brain.
Yeah.
So they took the probes out, put me on sulfur.
Well, they put you on sulfur first for like a couple years. And then once it traveled far enough up and it was like encroaching on going into the probe, then they removed the probe entirely.
And, you know, I took the medicine and I didn't shake that bad.
Yeah, we were always worried that if they had to remove the probe, that you would be, because the idea was you have to remove the probe and then push antibiotics morning and night for a month or 2 weeks or something, but you have to keep the probe out for a month.
6 weeks.
6 weeks. 6 weeks. Grandma was pushing those antibiotics intravenously, I think.
And yeah, they had a port in there.
Yeah, for the 6 weeks. And there was enough signal bleed over from the one probe that was still in there that you really didn't shake very bad. It was kind of like going back in time to when you first were diagnosed and there was a little bit of tremor, but it was manageable. Like, you could live comfortably. And, I mean, they pushed the you guys did the antibiotics, put the probe back in, and then instead of wiring back down the same path, they sort of, I don't know, daisy-chained the probe over to the other one or ran the wire down the other side to where the other existing battery was, and then they just put in an extra large single battery that runs both probes. And it seems like everything's running longer than before, where it was like one battery for one probe.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're getting more mileage out of the single battery. Mm-hmm. I always thought it was interesting that you'd get a kick out of turning the batteries off for people. Mm-hmm. A little shock value. In fact, you would go to Parkinson's conferences, and they would turn you off in front of medical students and prospective Parkinson's patients. Yeah. I think I heard from a friend who's in medical school that they showed a video of you. Mm. Now, the one concern that we always have is when you walk through a metal detector, it can shut the batteries off or the system.
Or if your refrigerator has a magnet to close the door and hold the door closed. It's got a heat tape, rubber above the... Every freezer door has that. If I lay my battery on the freezer door,
Well, if you, like, lean up to that...
Yeah, it'll turn it off. Oh, wow. Larry and Nancy left the condo one time, and I laid against the door, and all of a sudden I'm shaking, flopping around.
I didn't know that.
The magnet in the door at the condo turned it off.
Oh, wow. But, yeah. But it's been a great tool in managing your Parkinson's. And, I mean, after you had the surgery in 08, you were looking at a pretty bleak outcome before the surgery, and afterwards, you built a barn. Mm-hmm. You
started up again.
You bought tractors, swathers, everything. I'm in college. All of a sudden, I'm helping you build this stinking barn. And next thing I know, I'm bucking bales. And, I mean, what were they, like 70-pound bales?
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't like the 110-pounders. They're like 70. But there's like thousands of them. Mm-hmm. I have hay fever, man. You know this. That was not ideal.
No.
And I didn't even have the good job of like sitting in the tractor where you go along and you're baling or raking. Like, you and Lonnie were having fun doing that. Because all you want to do is be in a tractor.
You're lining them up.
Yeah, I'm out in the field walking row to row, flipping the bales so they're lined up right or on the right side to get scooped up by the bale wagon. The bale handler, bale wagon. In the summer, in this kind of heat, 90 degree heat. Thanks.
Yeah. That's part of
that was a learning part
experience.
Of your
education.
Yeah. Learning what you don't want to do.
Yeah.
But it allowed you to continue doing what you loved and farm again.
Yep. Piedmontese.
Get back into the cattle. I think next time we'll talk about the cattle and how you got into Piedmontese after transitioning out of horse racing.
I'm ready to go to Dick's Drive-In and get a half a chicken.
Well, there you go, folks. I guess we're done for the day. Thanks.
Yep.
This episode concludes this conversation between Justin and his grandfather, Gary. Tune in to episode 16 to continue on with Can't Stop Moving.
Don't forget to like, subscribe, and download so you don't miss a single episode. You can find Can't Stop Moving podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. Visit us at owensfarms.com and interact with us on Instagram @modernfarmerusa.